to check the laundry. I, the foreigner, the euphoric youth, the tourist, was out to check the laundry when I heard the drums. They were precise and sharp, snares unforgiving. They lured me as they crashed off Elizabeth Fort, dramatic and eventful echoes. They were the kind that created nostalgia for that beloved green holiday of March, parades in New York City, and the okay for a drink. But when I turned the corner onto the quay, I saw the hearse, flowered and black. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. And now, Bernadette Gallagher, please. Seats. My hair shows a hint of grey. Clouded lens, they call it cataract. Skin a little wrinkled. Garden of weeds, mint, parsley, sage, oregano. Seeds in my brain sprout into song, poetry, dance, and a little gentleness. Surrounded by computers, talking in bits, still learning, still working, still digging, as day turns into night and autumn into winter. A swing returns to my garden after many years, taunting me. What has changed? Thank you.
Thank you, Bernadette. And now, Liam, if you'd like to make your way up here. We'll give Liam a little minute. He's the oldest man in the world, you know. Liam Higby is 136. I just made a public announcement, now it's fact. Somebody's going to stick this on YouTube and it's going to go viral, Liam. They're going to be knocking your door down, the oldest man in the world.
The only reason they don't believe it is because they don't know me.
I believe you, yeah. It's fair.
Okay, the mic's going to be here, please. That's not so much. But my kick is right. Have me a minute, I just got to put on my reading glass. Only 26, I was back last week. And the name of this piece is Sweet Bird of Youth. Sweet bird of youth, where have you flown? How quick you fled the calendar of years. So eagerly I listened to your song when cherishing all those harmonious hours we spent with friends. Alas, we will never relive again. Sweet bird of youth, we can but now recall the pleasant memories of it all.
Ratio. So we let that one settle for a little while. Quite a lovely poem. And now we'll have Frances Cromer, I think it says, or
Browner.
Frances Browner. Sorry, I can't read your question.
Okay. Sorry about
everybody. The name of this poem is Executed. I once knew a man who had another man shot. had him executed. A longer, more drawn-out word. Like the man's death, maybe. With the stub of a pencil, he'd scratched out the words. Cut the spy Boland. Handed him over. Had him executed. Handed him over. Like a loaf of bread or a sack of spuds. A creel of bog-brown turf. On what evidence, I wondered. A Westclare man, back from the war, safe from the trauma of the trenches, the beseeching cries of his comrades, gun smoke, sickness, sweat. Who might have had to kill a man he didn't know, had never seen, except across an enemy line. Caught the spy Boland, handed him over, had him executed. Of the 200 informers executed during Ireland's War of Independence, 82 of them were ex-British Army. Or did he betray them, reveal a name, the whereabouts of a meeting? Did he have someone die, Boland the spy, survivor of the Somme, relieved and happy to be home? To the seaweed, turf smoke, dillisk and periwinkles, the grass caressing his face, eggs and griddle bread for breakfast, his mother's warm embrace. They called him traitor, informer, classmates and next door neighbour, enemies who once were friends, the girl he had his eye on before he left, who never got to make amends. I once knew this man, who caught the spy Boland, handed him over, and had him executed. And I wonder, when he wrote down the words, did he ever think that one day I would read them?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now we have Brian Crotty, please.
Called private property. A private space inside my head where only I can dwell. To think and dream at infinite, secure and unobserved. Strictly no admittance beyond this point. Sacred place, my saving grace.
I think we can all relate to that one. Yeah. Patricia Walsh, please.
Thank you, Rosé. This is called Accident and Emergency. Warm flesh attenuated to a fleeting walk, flying in the face of all that was good, the complete name calling over wonder drugs, pitching in an energy emergencies, a caring tribe, goes unknown gone before, twisting circumstance. Ordeal by warmth, now counting the minutes, raised by woes and excuse for domination. Let it go on the floor, a traitor's kiss, the twice salvation, done just in time. The dead artist not needing the end of money. Furious interiors, local dick, the joke-giving long ever, trying to face the wall. Cracking wood over fireplaces in the latter years of boredom, sick to the touch, forever wanting, wanting permission to be as I want. Feet in agony, forced into the journey to comfortable shoes, taking on the sins of cheap purchases by one by twice. Slicing through toes on a holy oasis, living over distance in a necessary fashion. A coupling, doubling of life, bridging similarities. Stories of one-upmanship hit the spots. Fool of the family, identified post-paradigm. Victorious in defeat of a lesser god. Exit through entrails, drawing out. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. And then we got Charlie's turn.
To mix it from beer.
We put up with this.
Rather me, not you, Charlie. Yeah,
I'd
rather
to know. Sid Walker. Sid Walker is from an old photograph I happen to see in the school, but I can't remember the name of the guy. Sid Walker. Before the Civil War, a man on stilts walked narrow streets. Rough houses were whitewashed, plain, contrasting with the gorgeous garb of Spain's golden age. A rout of children runs, avoids the danger, coming to no harm, whatever. The Sid Walker balances, shows no fear. This is his annual performance. It's part of the festivity every year before the war tears the country apart. We are onlookers kept at a distance. An old photograph of a scene belongs to someone else's history.
Thank you, Charles. And now we have Cedric.
This one is called Blade. The machine gets plugged in and connected to the master system. Nothing happens at first. But this is expected, desired even. So many lives will be synchronized. The optical pump was going to change everything. The waves go in, regular and strong, into the cavity. A media slowly turning in to the inner filter. With every input, furthermore in phase, until the receiver becomes generator, still demanding more. The energy is now pure, coherent. Bright, it colors everything red it shines upon. A perfect aggression to anyone who sees it, until focused through a lens, it cuts, burns anything that fades.
Mary Apollo.
Thanks, Rosie. This is actually about my brother, one of my brothers who died. And it's based on the Holy Saturday ceremonies in Easter Reed. He used to be an altar boy. It's called Final Toll. Darkness pools in the nave. Only the paschal flame flings shadows on the aisle where acolytes and celebrant move through incense-thickened air. That aisle once echoed to the clatter of a bright red toy fire engine you dragged to the rails for baby Jesus, startling the devout when you were four. Now a taper dipped in fire sows pinpricks of light that flare over fingers of the waiting congregation, purling their nails with wax. Again, my thoughts reel back to a gleeful altar boy who fought with his fellows to whack a dome-shaped bell and make a mighty sound. Mischievous to the last, you wrung what joy remained before they slipped the ropes that lured you down where no light played.
Thank you. Thank you. And next up we have Philip Spillane.
Thank you. This is based on an old image I saw once, like an old vintage image from the 60s, I think. And these miners going down the lift. And one miner has a red cap. All the rest like have, I don't know, like a black, bland cap, but this one has a red one. And the caption underneath says that this guy's a newcomer. He's a new miner. And he's, you know, he stands out. He's new to this job. And that inspired me to write this poem, because this guy stands out like a sore thumb among these dirty miners with their black caps, and there's just one red one among them. So this poem was made out of it. I use mythical creatures in order to describe his posture. Little red miner. He looked so babyface. His spine was awkwardly straight. His red cap gleamed so perfect polish. Dumb big eyes trying to look knowing, locked behind alien green goggle lenses. He stands out with his clean great grey coat jacket, where everyone else boasts shades of blacks, hunchbacked, dirt snivelling, red capped demons, scars the underground and the dark. The pack of wolves spy on the new pup, even though he looks to the head who's supposed to guide, he's clearly an ankle or some unwatered wart. Obedient like a rusty, nervous as a sausage, stumbling like one too, and like a capper, if you push off the helmet, he'll drop himself to the floor to get it. Speak of some devil, an old kelpie mouth co-worker flicks his hand up to the newbie's cap, and it flies off, a man's clap onto the dusty surface, receiving its first cold smudge. It hasn't even gone on the ground. The boy's nose narrows, bends down, ducking his spine with his backside shoved out, clasps the helmet with his arms stretched out, his hands numb because of the thick, troll, and awkward gloves. Tapping it back on his head, making his nerves and his belly swell. Trying not to tickle any sleeping dragons, he walks into the iron basket lift. Claustrophobic close, all stare interestedly at the alien red cap. However, ironically, faithfully, he'll grow bland and fall into the packed shade. The red cap will be replaced with black. They all turn black, and the back will arch, hunched, and the baby skin will turn tough with dirt and soot, and the foreigner will become one of the pack. One day, he sees a red cap gleaming. He flicks it off the baby face's head. Thank you.
Hi, Philip. Writing a modern day mythology all of his own, I would say. Maybe. Perhaps. Yeah. Okay, so we have one more name on the open mic, and they're going to do a bit of music and possibly end the story, but we have quite a bit of time. So is anybody sitting down, I know, with a hankering to read something that didn't put your name on the list? There is time and space, if you wish. Anybody? No? Yeah? Ryan? Dominic? No? Maybe next week. Okay, well, no pressure. Just thought you might like to. Alright, so we'll take the night out with Michal. Andra! Michal Andra! Two for the prize of one.
This might be hard, mate. We haven't practiced in a while.
We never practice.
Orange juice.
Don't kick the mic stand, all right?
I try, mate.
So, here's what I start and you follow me. Okay? Sorry, my glasses issue. Okay, I'm ready. On the way to this convocation, we stopped at the motorway service station. There we found a mouth of truth, no lies. I put my money in the crack, got my electronic feedback, telling me stuff about my life, no lies. He said, you're a crusty, you are bad, grow up, stop acting like a little lad, turn your cap the right way round, don't tell lies. Said, he said, He said, ain't no rights without responsibilities. Know yourself, your capabilities. He said, act like a model for the truth. Don't tell lies. He said, take this message to the convocation. Shout it out. Give a demonstration. Speak like a model for the truth. Don't tell lies, said. Don't tell lies, said. Don't tell
Thank you.